Morning, everybody. I always have to check. I move around. I run into things. This is an exciting time. Been looking forward to this message. We've been talking about it as an eldership, and that it's very. We feel it's just very timely for right now. We've been over the last few weeks talking about how the Israelites are an example for our lives, and how the story of them through the whole Bible is meant for us to. Kind of model our lives after learning from the things they did well and the things they didn't do well, and being able to use that as the example. And there's this overlaying thread through all of it, that there was a purpose for the Israelites. There's a reason why they're the example. There was a covenant that God made with his people. They were meant to be, out of Ezekiel 37:27, my dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that was the purpose. They were going to be God's people. He was going to rule over them. He was going to show them the way they should live well. And they were going to example this to the rest of the world. They were going to bless the rest of the world through their nation. And that didn't go the way it could have. Things went awry. They were people. They made mistakes. They went astray. And so in order to right this issue, because God still wants his people, he still wants humanity, even though the chosen people didn't do things the way they should have done. And so he came to this earth, he showed us, he brought the message of his kingdom to us on what he desired of us, how to live well, that he loved us. And then he died for us that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be brought back into that relationship. And so all of us have that opportunity to be invited into this relationship one again, to accept who Christ is and be able to be brought into this kingdom of God as that example to the rest of the world. And so within this, this is our idea that we need to be this example to the rest of the world. And if we look at the world right now, it needs some good examples. If we look out of Matthew 12:25, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if we look out right now, there's a lot of division. There's division without, and there's division within. Is that people are starting to hold up standards that are not necessarily biblical, and adding those as dividing lines between people, between brothers in Christ, is that we're going to stand on something that isn't the Bible and say that, I'm not going to love you anymore if you don't agree with me in this. And that's a division. The house won't stand if we allow that to happen. If we look at the nation, it doesn't look like it's standing very well right now. It's in trouble. It needs those to go out and help heal it. And that's our calling. Our calling is to example to the rest of the world how to live well, how to live in unity, in harmony with one another. And so out of Ephesians 4, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. We have a calling. We have one purpose that we should be following. One Lord, one Savior. That's the focus. And we can't deviate from it. Because when we start deviating from it, we're not being that example anymore. So how do we walk in a manner worthy of this calling? And the very first thing is we need to be mature. Mature believers, mature in our faith, mature in our actions. Out of Matthew 5:43-48, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, and this is Jesus speaking in this passage, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I quoted that passage last week, the very end part there. You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I wanted to explain that perfect doesn't mean the best at everything. Perfect means mature, complete, brought into wholeness. Is that we have everything in order so that we go out as the example. And when we look at this, I really wanted to highlight right in there on verse 44, there's nothing that has come up that exempts verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Is that we are starting to see people as our enemies. And even if we're not, we have people that start seeing themselves as our enemies. Even if we don't look at them that way, they're starting to identify themselves as we are their enemies. And we're called to love them. We're called to love God. We're called to love our neighbor. We're called to love ourself. We're called to love our enemies. That's pretty much everybody. Is that we are called to love. That's maturity in God's kingdom, is loving everyone, is caring for everyone, is wanting everyone's highest and seeking their best, no matter their opinion on a particular thing. But it matters that God sees them as his children, as God sees them as worthy of being redeemed. And he's asked us to go and seek them and show them his kingdom. And so within that, we're going to have to be very careful about the things we say. We're going to have to watch our words. Out of James 3, 7 through 10, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. It ought not to be so that we're cursing those that we should be loving. And at this very same time, we bless those that we care about. We bless those that agree with us. We bless God, but we'll curse others in the same sentence. It ought to be so. We can't be building walls with our words. We're not going to reach people if we put up barriers. We need to be able to make it so that they can hear what we say, knowing that it comes from love, from kindness, for their best. We always need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry, so that everything we say can be measured and full of grace and full of truth and for people's highest. And it's that we're going to have, especially right now, we have a really big election in a couple days. We're not making light of that. It's a big deal, but is it the biggest deal? Is the election worth more than someone's salvation? Whichever way someone votes, is that, oh, well, I'm just going to condemn you now. You voted that way, you're not worthy of God's love. Is that the attitude we're going to have towards people? One way or the other. And it's something we want to talk about. It's a big topic. But I would encourage you, and this part is my opinion on this. Please talk to people who you have a relationship with already that can handle a differing of opinions. That the relationship is built there, that even if you don't agree, you can still be friends. Because we're finding right now that as a nation, we're not really at that spot anymore, where if we disagree, we can still be friends. But we need to example that. We need to show that that is the way it should be. That we should be able to have different opinions, and that should be okay. Because the main thing is that God's in control, and God loves us, and we're all his children. We should be able to have different opinions on other things and still love each other, still care for each other, still go to the barbecue afterwards and have a hot dog and have a good time. And it shouldn't be that, nah, I'm not going to associate with that person anymore. It just can't. There are other things we can get along with. And so if we're having these conversations with people that we know they can handle disagreement, or you're in unity in the subject anyways, and someone else comes along, we don't really know if they are. It's really easy just to change the conversation, to just talk about something else. there's plenty else going on in the world. There's plenty of other things to be frustrated about that we can talk about. And there's good things. I think that's often something we don't realize. There's still a lot of good things going on that we could talk about instead. And if you do get into a conversation with somebody who just, you don't agree, and they really want to go at it, and they really want your opinion on it, I would encourage you to measure your words with grace and give your opinion without condemning anybody. You can state how you feel without condemning a person. Because if they agree with that person, that's a wall. That's a barrier. That's something you've divided between the two of you. But you can go out and you can still say, I don't agree with that idea. I don't agree with going along with that. I would prefer if we did it this way. And I know you don't agree, but I love you too much to argue about this. Can we, I think it's getting a little heated. Let's just talk about something else. It's going to be simple as that. I still love you, even though we don't agree. We have to watch what we say. We have to watch the anger that wells up within. And we're all subject to it. We all have that hot button that just gets us going. You want to rally behind it. I had that happen this week. I was really tested in this week. I had to be very measured. Just, yeah, I hear what you're saying. But it's not helpful to get into the argument. That doesn't help anybody. It just separates. We have to learn to bring people back together. And we can do this by setting our minds on the things of God. Out of Romans 8, 5 through 8, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And I talked about this out of Isaiah, I think it was 55 last week, in that mankind is described as grass. It withers, it fades, it's here for a season, and it's gone. And that's the same with our ideas and our things and things we think are important, and soon it's just going to be something else. There's going to be something else to worry about in a week from now. When the election's over and it's all said and done, there's going to be another upsetting thing. This is 2020. We get that by this point. It just keeps coming. There will be something else to be upset about. It's going to fade just like all the rest has and will continue to. We need to set our minds on the things that are eternal, the things that are lasting, things that aren't going away, maintaining our focus. It's not going away that we are to exemplify God's characteristics. It's not going to go away that we're meant to be lights to the world. It's not going to go away that Jesus desires all mankind to come to him. That's not going away. We need to set our minds on those things to help keep our focus when we go out and interact with people so that we can be that light. Out of Philippians 2, 14 to 16, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. We need to accept that. We're in a crooked and twisted generation. And to emphasize, it's not just this generation. They've all been crooked and twisted. All of them. Because anybody who is not of God, their life is not following after him, and things will be twisted from how they're meant to be. Anybody after God, it's not saying they're all evil, but it's saying it's twisted from the way it's meant to be. We have to accept that until they have Jesus, they're not going to have the same perspective on life. And it's our job to bring them to Jesus so that he can save their soul, so that he can redeem them, so that he can show them love and compassion and show them the way that he desires for them. And so we can't do that if we're championing a different cause other than Jesus. Amen. I can't reach everybody if I'm championing black chairs. If I'm only for black chairs, any church without black chairs, sorry, no. If you don't have black chairs in your home, no, not going to happen. You're not worth my time. We are black chairs people. we've cut off, what, most of the world? By saying that I'm championing this cause that really it doesn't matter. It's not eternal. We need to champion Jesus' cause so that we can bring unity and peace. Out of Matthew 5, 6 through 9, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. War is not a blessing. Strife is not a blessing. Division is not a blessing. Anxiety, worry, these are not blessings, but these are fruits of what's going on right now. If we continue in this way, these are the things we'll receive. We reap what we sow. But things that are blessings are peace, security, harmony. Being able to go out and be able to speak your mind and not worry about someone attacking you over it. These are blessings. Dwelling in unity brings this. Dwelling in harmony brings these blessings to us. And so that living in harmony, that begins right here. Out of Romans 15, 5 through 7, may the God of endurance, because it's going to take endurance, and encouragement, because it's going to be hard, grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Harmony first begins with God's people. We need to be in harmony. If we're going to example, we need to be on the same page. We need to be united. We need to be willing to work together regardless of any opinion that we have about anything. We still have to be worked together. We're still for Christ first. Because division will cause weakness and ineffectiveness. Because the way you make something weak, split it in half. Split it again. Split it again. Look at how many denominations we have. Presbyterians, Catholics, Lutherans, go on, so forth. How much would it be if we just had Christians? That if people looked at Christians, and any church you go to was a Christian church, there wasn't a name for it other than that, how much more influence and impact we could have when we stood behind things. But we're just as divided as the rest of the world in this. Is that, do we want to be worldly or do we want to be godly? Is that we need to be together. We need to not put up those barriers so that we do actually represent Christ. And we're going to have to be peaceable. Out of Romans 12, 14 through 18, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And I really think that last part is extra important, is if it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Because a lot of what we do is a choice that we make. There's very little we're forced to do. It's simply a choice that we make when we go into a situation, when we go into a conversation. What choice are you going to make? Are you going to choose to fight or are you going to choose to make peace in it? Are you going to choose to bring someone together or further divide? Are you going to throw gasoline on the fire? Or are you going to throw some water on that fire? Because there's a lot more fires today than there were a couple months ago, and they just keep coming up. And we get to make that choice. As much as it depends on you, live peaceably. And remember, we prayed for encouragement and endurance because it's hard to get along with people who disagree on really big issues. It's hard. It's frustrating. It wears on you when it comes day after day after day after day. It's hard. We know this. But it's the choice we have to make. We didn't make an easy choice when we chose Jesus. He said there's going to be trials. He said there's going to be persecution. He said, you're going to carry your cross for my namesake. He didn't say we would be sitting back for his namesake. It's going to be difficult. But being the example is difficult because it's showing integrity every day. And we're going to have days that we stumble. We're going to have days where it's difficult because you're a person. And that's okay as well, as long as you don't sit in that, as long as you don't stay in that. You allow people to help get you back up and right back on the same track you were supposed to be on, is being that example once again. But we have to make that effort to be the solution, to not be a problem. We have to seek peace. It doesn't just come. You have to seek it. You have to desire it. People naturally are at odds with each other. Out of James 3, 17 through 18, but the wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. My wife is a natural peacemaker. She desires for people to get along, to grow up, to stop just being at odds with each other, to work together, to just sort it out. If you have an issue, just sort it out. I'm going to let you know, there are many amongst us that are that way. They're exhausted. They're tired. They're tired of doing it. But they're going to keep doing it. The thing I wanted to mention for that is that they're doing it within the church. All of their efforts are just to keep us together. What if they were doing that towards the world because they didn't need to here? How much could we do if those who are naturally gifted in making peace, of bringing people together, could go and do it where it really needs to be done? If we could just be in accord, to be working together, to be already mature in this, is that we understand that when a conflict arises, we don't just let it slide. We go and handle it right away, sort it, deal with it, be done with it. Is that when we see others that are having issues, that we encourage them to do the same. Hey, go take care of that problem so it's not a problem anymore. Just get it over with. Get it done quick. Almost anybody that I've ever spoken to that actually went and had the conflict that they were dreading, they felt way better afterwards. Strange that the things that God tells us to do actually work. But they're essential. Every one of us needs to be a peacemaker. It's essential. Because people are going to keep being people. We're going to keep having problems until we meet Jesus and he makes us right. Because we do live in a fallen world. We can't get around that. But we can help work through it. And we're going to have to maintain our focus in order to do this. Out of Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. That's the focus. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing. It's to go out and make disciples. It's to show people the kingdom of God. It's to bring people more and more people into his family. Because the goal is as many as possible before the day comes. And the day is when Jesus comes back. And it's going to be done at that point. And it is a great and terrible day. I'm personally dreading it because I've read Revelation and I see everything that happens. And I'm excited to meet Jesus, but it's a terrible day. It's going to be great, but we can't forget that for some it's going to be terrible. Let's try as best as we can to make that number smaller. And we're going to do this through love. We're not going to do it through arguments. We're not going to do it through discussions. We're going to do it through love. People will come to God when they see the love that we have for them and he has for them. That they matter. That they're important. That they're more than an opinion. They're more than a thought. They're more than a worldly idea. They're a person. And they belong to God, and we seek their best. They shall know us by our love. We got to keep each other focused. Out of 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you, but you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. We're all people. We're all going to get heated up. We're all going to stumble. We're all going to make mistakes. We're going to have that day that we come in and we say, oh, I'm just so upset about whatever it is. It's going to be something. It's going to happen. And for us to be able to say, and this is really frustrating to hear when you're in that moment, oh, I really get that, but at least God's in control, right? Yes. Because it's true. And we need to hear it at that point. Yes, God's in control. That's frustrating. It is frustrating, but God is in control. We need to be reminded of this. And we need to remind others of this. God's in control. He's going to handle it. He's going to let you know what you need to do as long as you keep your eyes on Him and His purposes. He will guide you through it. This was the lesson I needed to learn out of Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, saying, two are better than one, for there is a reward for their toil. Because if one falls, the other may pick them up. We're going to fall. It's going to happen. But at least we have each other to pick each other up, to make it through it, to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. And we got to remember who the enemy really is. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The enemy is the devil, and he's really good at his job. He's had a long time to work at it. Yeah. Don't think that we're cleverer than the devil. He's had all of time thus far to work on his plan. We need to put our faith in Christ, and we need to pray against what the devil is doing, and we need to pray for people. We need to focus on this. We need to focus on that the problem isn't actually people. The problem is the fallen world we're in. The problem is the corruption that has happened, knowing that someday there will be a solution. We have a part to play in that right now, but people are not the problem. The enemy is the problem. The adversary, the devil. And realizing that he is a powerful being, but acknowledging that he doesn't even get a name in the Bible. He's called the adversary. When we think about Lucifer, that's actually the name of the last star of the morning. That's not his name. God doesn't even give him a name. He says, it's not worth it. You focus on me, you don't focus on him. And remember that we are one in Christ. Of Colossians 3:7 through 11, in these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave and free, Democrat and Republican. Pick a thing. We're not divided, but Christ is all and in all. We're not about a party. We're not about an agenda. We're not about any of this. We're about Christ. We're here for his purposes. That's why we gather. That's who we're worshiping. And we work together in this. Out of Philippians 2, 1 through 5, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. It's going to take a conscious effort to lock arms, to be in unison, to get along with people that we disagree with, to continue working towards the goal. We can't have the mentality of, well, we just don't agree about that thing, so we're just not going to talk anymore. What is that? You don't agree about one thing, so you have nothing in the world you could ever talk about again? We're one in Christ. We're a family. We're a community. Just don't talk about that one thing. And let's get on with the work. And God realized this would be a challenge. And he prayed over us in this. Out of John 17, 16 through 21. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Is that God desires us to be unified so that he can be glorified. So I want to end with this out of 1 Peter. I want to pray this over us. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen.